Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Melissa Levis, who is a Renaissance woman. That's the only way to describe her. She's written off-Broadway shows with the songs that she's composed. She's formed a rock and roll group, which was out in the Hamptons, which we'll be talking about. And she's living today half-time in Paris, half-time in Vermont, and she's in New York. So I thought I'd grab her and we could talk for a little bit. Melissa, I met you a long time ago, and the group you had started was called Melissa and the Moguls in the Hamptons.
That's
and
right.
Some of the songs that you composed that we sang at places like Stephen Talk House and later in New York City at some clubs here. Tell me a little about the songs you composed, and we'll go from there.
You know, Dan, you were my star because you were the most important media in the Hamptons. I wanted to be discovered. I was 25 years old and you were the gatekeeper. So I wrote to you inviting you to be in the Moguls. And then I didn't hear from you for a while. And then you wrote back and said, not only would you cover it, you'd be delighted to join the band. And you played the kazoo. And I remember Alan Frank saying, Melissa, you say yes. Because I was going to say no, we didn't have enough time to rehearse with you. But Alan Frank said, you say yes to Dan Rettiner. And how that changed both of our lives. It was a fabulous yes. And I was a young songwriter. I had just graduated from Brown University. I was living in Manhattan. And the Hamptons was, of course, the place to be discovered. And I just was writing custom songs for rich New Yorkers. And so I called myself the Moguls Muse. And one day I woke up with this idea that I should create a band called Melissa and the Moguls. And it was the alliteration that I loved.
Who were some of the people in the band that we were with?
Well, the truth is, my uncle, Bruce Wasserstein, was a very influential mover and shaker in the Hamptons, and he would throw an annual cocktail party in June. And so I asked people who came to his cocktail party if they wanted to be in my band, namely Jonathan Farkas, who then brought his friend Alan Frank, and then Andy Sabin, who brought his friend Pat Malloy. And then it was you. And you were my ask. Uncle Bruce had nothing to do with it, but I had been singing at the Palm restaurant, and that's how I knew about you. So I had written to you the year before asking you to cover me as a songwriter in the Palm for my very first singing job ever. And I was like, I don't know, 24 years old.
In one sentence about each of the people, or some, the three of those people that you mentioned were, and why they were in it, the banker,
the
minimalist. Tell us a little, just one sentence about each.
Well, Andy Sabin, Alan Frank had a funny joke that he was Andy Gansett because he was so powerful in Amagansett, but he was a really great guy. And he not only was in the precious metals business, but he grew the largest pumpkin in Amagansett. He went on salamander hunts and he rode his bicycle about 100 miles a day. So he was really a Renaissance man. And he had a terrible voice, but he wanted to say yes to life, because his father had died young. And so Andy Sabin was a mogul, but he was really like part of the Amagansett community. And he just said yes. And then he dragged his friend Pat Malloy, who owned Malloy Marina and most of Sag Harbor. And he had a terrible voice, but he said yes. And we threw a party on his yacht that was owned by David Bowie previously. And I remember missing my Brown fifth reunion to be on David Bowie's yacht with the Moguls. And that was a pretty good reason to skip my college reunion.
The titles of some of the songs, I know them, some of them quite well. They're rock and roll songs.
Yeah.
We played Stephen Talk House, I think, three times. What was the club in New York we played? There was a reunion.
Yes, it was on the West Side. It was on the West Side. I don't think it's there anymore. It was called McCore, and it was an extension of the 92nd Street Y. And the Moguls and I, without you, actually played in Aspen at some Christmas parties. And then I also went to DC, and I had a business writing custom songs for very fancy parties. So I really would be flown to Beverly Hills or to Palm Beach or to DC to write one song for a special party. But the Moguls was like our inner city. They were tongue-in-cheek parodies of the Hamptons. And the songs included Go Till the Weekend's Gone. We go, 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 go. We go, 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 till the weekend's gone. Because there was like the nonstop parties and the social events. And of course, this was before cell phones. This is before GPS. Everybody used to get lost driving to the parties and figuring out the back roads, the fastest way to go from one part of the Hamptons to the other. And I had worked for Peggy Siegel the previous summer. And so I knew about the parties and the A-list. Remember, we had a song called A-list, A-list, A-list.
Yep.
And they were good songs. They were really timeless.
Where can people hear them today?
Well, you can look for Melissa and the Moguls on Spotify and Melissa and the Moguls on YouTube, and you can hear. I think we had 14 songs, and they were like, Mine is Bigger Than Yours. That was a hilarious one about the competition between all of the men who wanted faster cars, bigger mansions, younger wives. You know, there were, I think I was very aware of how the Hamptons was really all about external validation, and you wanted to be seen at the right parties with the right accoutrements. And I hated the fact that women were trophy wives to the Moguls, but I liked being this young woman who was not a mogul in her own right, but singing and getting all of these Moguls behind me. And I called Mort Zuckerman and I called Perlman, and I would just go through the Hamptons phone book calling up movers and shakers and saying, hey, you want to be in a band? And we had a ball.
Sure did. And we made a video, as I remember.
Yes, we did. So we filmed at Stephen Talkhouse, and we also sang at the opening of Bridgehampton Polo. I don't know if you remember, Peggy Siegel used to do the polo opening. And we sang the national anthem at Bridgehampton Polo, and we would go to funny places. And the truth is, we were like the YMCA band. Like, we were like the village people. You had your kazoo. Farkas had his electric guitar and his maracas. I had my pink feather boa, which I am wearing for you today, that I still wear. I mean, the Moguls was 30 years ago, Dan. And the incredible thing is, I'm still writing songs. You're still writing dance papers. We're still expressing ourselves and having fun and celebrating the joy of creating and making our own fun.
What are some of the creative things you're doing at this time?
Well, I was always a songwriter. So Melissa and the Moguls was my first foray into professional songwriting. But then I wrote an off-Broadway musical called The Joys of Sex. Then I became a children's rock star when I became a mom, and I had another off-Broadway musical. And my children's band was called Moe's Music Party because Moe was my nickname. So I went from Melissa and the Moguls to The Joys of Sex to The Joys of Writing Songs for Kids as Moe's Music Party. And Moe's on Spotify and TikTok, and it's really fabulous that my songs are still going. But I actually came home to Vermont in my 40s. I had my midlife renaissance, and I got divorced. I left New York City, and I stopped being a songwriter, and I became a prodigal Vermonter and family innkeeper. And in this midlife renaissance, I still kept singing, and I threw a cabaret in my inn's living room called Tinderella, about my adventures of going on 52 blind dates in 52 weeks to try to find a guy in New York I could bring to Vermont full time. And I failed miserably, but singing my cabaret, we gave away a novelty pair of a Statue of Liberty thong to an audience participation. And one of the people who won the audience participation Statue of Liberty thong is now my boyfriend. And he's French and lives in Paris. So now I commute to Paris 4 months every year for the past 7 years. So Incredible. And I have created a business called Incredible, I-N-N, Incredible You, to encourage women to spread their wings and leap into their midlife renaissance, because my life now in my 50s is so much more incredible than it was in my 20s singing in the Hamptons. Like, this is the time of our life. And I want every middle-aged woman to just love her life. And so I've written a collection of 30 songs. Now I'm not singing for children, not singing for the moguls. I'm singing for women to live with joie de vivre and smell the roses and have Paris, which is the city of lights, help them shine their inner light as bright.
Where will people find more information about that?
Well, if you look on Instagram, it's called Incredible You, I-N-N, Incredible You, Y-O-U. And you can look at IncredibleYou.com. And you can find me at the Wilburton Inn in Manchester, Vermont, where we hold retreats. We do retreats for women in New York, in Paris, and at the Wilburton Inn. And what's interesting is, music has always been a part of my life, but the cabaret started in Paris. And what did we do, Dan, with Melissa and the Moguls? We just put on shows, we had props, we had fun. We weren't particularly great singers, right? But it changed your life because it led you to your wonderful marriage with Chris, right? Who was your biggest fan. So putting on a show in the living room, which is where I met my Frenchman, which is what we really did as the Moguls, like, it's that spirit that the party lives in us. So I say to women, do I look like Rocky Balboa to you? Dan, do I look like Rocky Balboa to you?
No.
But? Well,
in one sense, yes.
Okay, so why do I look like Rocky Balboa to you?
Physically, no. But the rest of it is the power, and I can sense it as I always have.
Okay, so this is what I say. Do I look like Rocky Balboa? Of course not. But yes, I do. Because when life gets rocky, I throw on a boa. And I encourage all women to do the same. So if you're a middle-aged lady out there who feels unseen, unheard, unfulfilled, you go get yourself a boa and celebrate your je ne sais quoi, which is your special something. And you celebrate being everything that you are. And join me for the Incredible Paris workout. And we will create the best days of our life right now, whatever age we are.
Thank you for being on the podcast. I know you're on your way up to the Wilburton Inn. And
my pleasure. Here I am at the Hall of Mirrors at Versailles. So wherever you are, you know, the party is wherever you are. And Dan, thank you for chronicling the Hamptons. And thank you for saying yes. Thank you for saying yes to the adventure to be in Melissa and the Moguls so long ago and bringing so much joy to the Hamptons.
Thanks very much. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Au revoir.